Good morning. Welcome to our church. Tea and coffee will be served after the service in the Mayo Hall. Please come. Ruth Anderson's mother has died. Please remember Ruth and her family in your prayers. When you go home to watch the marathon, which you're all going to do, aren't you? Please note that Matt Hatton, who is the director of KCAH, is running, and he needs your prayers. Church news is published today. And lastly, Ray Charlton would like a few words about Christian Aid.
Good morning. You will have seen the notice, as I'm sure Christian Aid Week is fast approaching. And we start that on Saturday, the 11th of May, here with a quiz. And most of you will know it's a great fun event. And we encourage you to come along and bring any people outside the church you think would enjoy that evening. It starts at 7 o'clock. There's a light meal provided in the middle, and we have a bar and soft drinks available for that. So that's Saturday, the 11th of May. Sunday, the 12th of May, is the official start of Christian Aid Week. So I'll be looking for helpers to go out with me or go out in teams to deliver and collect envelopes. And if you feel you can do it, please get in touch with myself. Then on Saturday, the 19th, so at the end of the week, on the Saturday, we provide a stall in the square in Kingston. The stall runs from 11 till 3, and the URC has responsibilities from 1 till 3 p.m. So for 2 hours, if you can help man that stall. And if you can provide cakes, preserves, or plants for the stall, get them down here on the Friday, and we get them around to the stall. And finally, on the 20th, there's a walk, and there's some intrepid explorers doing the walk on the 20th of May, and if you would like to sponsor them, also do that. So if you missed any of those, if you'd like to help, please get in touch with me after the service. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. So as we are gathered here today to worship God, we welcome Jesus Christ into our midst and hear again his words to Martha. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. So we start with singing hymn, wonderfully uplifting hymn, To God Be the Glory, 289.
Thank you.
Please be seated. I'm going to say together now Psalm 150, which says, starts off, "Praise the Lord." Praise the Lord, praise all his temple, praise his strength in heaven, praise him for the mighty things he has done, praise his supreme greatness, praise him with trumpets, praise him with harps and lyres, praise him with drums and dancing, praise him with harps and flutes, praise him with cymbals. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise the Lord, all living creatures. Praise the Lord. And now we have the prayer and Lord's Prayer. So let us pray.
Prayer of Adoration. God of majesty and power, we praise you. You are the mighty God, slow to anger, yet always willing to forgive. You are the God of love, a refuge for the oppressed and a stronghold in times of trouble. The heavens themselves declare your glory. All creation bends the knee at the sound of your mighty word. You are enthroned as the Holy One, the praise of all the nations. Blessed are those who dwell in the house of the Lord, for they are ever praising you. A prayer of confession. We have had many thoughts this week, many positive and good thoughts, but we also know there have been thoughts that have been negative and destructive. Thoughts of revenge when that car cuts us up on the road, when you would have us pray for them. Thoughts of anger at the person begging on the street rather than doing something to improve their lives, when you would have us support those in need. Thoughts of fear and concern for our future, when you offer us the love that casts out fear. Lord, forgive us. We have said many things this week, many of them uplifting, encouraging, and affirming of others. But we know we have also said things we wish we had not. Words that have hurt, words that have insulted, upset, or criticised, when you would have us encourage one another. Lord, forgive us. We have done many things this week. Many have been positive, constructive, and have built up. But some have been destructive, leading to harm, when you would have us act for good. Some have been things we could have done but did not, when you would have us work diligently for the kingdom. Father, forgive us. Risen Lord, we confess the many times when we are like Thomas, doubting, unsure, longing to be shown proof. How often we want to be able to look at your hands and to put our hand in your side, that like Thomas, seeing we might believe, yet you call us to have faith. Lord, forgive us. We turn to you and ask you to forgive us. And what does God say? Doesn't he say this? My daughter, my son, I love you. When you turn to me, have I not promised I will forgive you?
You believe even though you have not seen my risen Son. Didn't I promise you that you would be blessed? With grateful hearts, we receive those promises again today. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Now we can say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father.
Our Father, art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
And now Sally Butler, our youth leader, will lead our all-age worship.
Good morning. Good morning. Children, come and join us on the front row. Got something for you and for the adults to see today. Now, I wonder, who likes birds?
Yes.
Five people. Really?
No.
Five people like birds. Put your hand up if you like birds. Birds, you know, flap, flap. Yeah, great. Good. A few years ago, there was a survey where people could vote on what they wanted to be the nation's favourite bird. Right? And there were about 10 choices, and you could send your vote in. And they came up with a winner. And I thought what I'd do is I'd reveal the top three to you today, and then we'll have a quick straw poll, and we'll see what Kingston URC would like as your favourite bird, okay, from those top three. Okay? So the results are as follows. In third place, the blackbird. It's quite surprising. They're quite nice. They're quite stunning, aren't they? It's that lovely black and then the bright orange beak, and they've got a beautiful song. They've got a beautiful song. They make a nice noise. So in number three, the blackbird. In number two position, the barn owl. Don't see many of those. They tend to, you wouldn't get those in the garden. Get them in a barn. And they tend to come out sort of at dusk, and they do their eating, their hunting at night time. Now, before we reveal, have a think, what would your favourite bird be?
Yes, the robin.
In first place, it was the robin, which is the one I voted for. Now, let's see which one you like the best. Right, so put your hand up if you would have voted in first place for the blackbird. Oh, there are some. Good, good, good. I'm glad. Put your hand up if you would have voted for the barn owl. Oh, a few more. A few, yeah. You, some of the children voting for the barn owl. Put your hand up if you would have voted for the robin. Glyn Robinson. Yeah, there you go. Why are we talking about birds? We're going to think about another bird today, okay? And it's a bird that's mentioned a couple of times in the Bible. But you don't tend to see it on your bird feeder at home. And the bird I want to talk about today is the dove. It's very beautiful, isn't it? It's very beautiful. And that's because in a minute we're going to learn about the Holy Spirit. God's helper to help us to follow Jesus. And in the Bible, there's lots of different pictures of the Holy Spirit to describe who the Holy Spirit is and what he does. And one of them is a dove. That's what we're going to think about today, okay? And there are a couple of other images of the Holy Spirit as well that we're going to think about, but we're going to think about the dove. But first, we're going to sing, and we're going to sing The Servant King, and then we'll go out to the hall, okay?
Please be seated. It's at this time that we ask God's blessing on our children as they go to their classes. And this morning we are going to have three readings. The first is from Acts, the second from Revelations, and the third from John. And after these three readings, there will be two reflections. So the first reading is from Acts chapter 5, 27 to 32. Shall we read it together? They brought the...
I'm going to read it.
Oh, I beg your pardon, sorry.
That's okay.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
They brought the apostles in, made them stand before the council, and the high priest questioned them. "We gave you strict orders not to teach in the name of this man," he said. "But see what you have done. You have spread your teaching all over Jerusalem. And you want to make us responsible for his death?" Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God, not men. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from death after you had killed him by nailing him to a cross. God raised him to his right-hand side as leader and savior to give the people of Israel the opportunity to repent and have their sins forgiven. We are witnesses to these things, we and the Holy Spirit, who is God's gift to those who obey him."
Thank you, Catherine. And the second reading is from Revelation, chapter 1, verses 4 to 8.
From John to the seven churches in the province of Asia. Grace and peace be yours from God, who is, who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits in front of his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the first to be raised from death, and who is also the ruler of the kings of the world. He loves us, and by his sacrificial death he has freed us from our sins and made us a kingdom of priests to serve his God and Father. To Jesus Christ be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming on the clouds. Everyone will see him, including those who pierced him. All peoples on earth will mourn over him. So shall it be. I am the first and the last, says the Lord God Almighty, who is, who was, and who is to come.
Thank you, Jenna. And then for our final reading, it's from John chapter 20, verses 19 to 31.
It was late that Sunday evening, and the disciples were gathered together behind locked doors, because they were afraid of the Jewish authorities. Then Jesus came and stood among them. "Peace be with you," he said. After saying this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were filled with joy at seeing the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I send you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive people's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." Thomas said to them, "Unless I see the scars of the nails in his hands and put my finger on those scars and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, the disciples were together again indoors, and Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and look at my hands. Then stretch out your hand and put it in my side. Stop your doubting and believe. Thomas answered him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Do you believe because you see me? How happy are those who believe without seeing me? In his disciples' presence, Jesus performed many other miracles which are not written down in this book. But these have been written in order that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through your faith in him, you may have life. Amen.
Thank you. Our first reflection is going to be given by Jane Townsend, and it's based on the reading of John.
As Anne said, it's from the reading of John, and these are my reflections upon that reading. I first thought that before there were disciples, that Jesus had gone along at the along the beach and looked at people, and then he called the disciples to him, to follow him, to leave their nets and their actual jobs. They immediately did this without any hesitation. They obeyed, not knowing what the future was for them. They went along and they actually listened to the scriptures while he taught them in all the areas. And he saw the miracles which we've heard about. And they did that. But then we know that the crucifixion took place. So, crucifixion took place. What would happen? They were in the upper room, the disciples. I envisaged them thinking, my master's gone. For everywhere they had gone, they'd followed their master. He was no longer with them. So their emotions and feelings were changed. They were bereft. What would they do now? They have strong grief. They forgot and had little faith. Their faith had wavered. They forgot the scriptures of 3 days later. He would arise again. And the emotions were of sadness, just like you or I, when we lose somebody, our emotion changes. And so emotion of terrible loss. What were they to do now? Their master was no longer there to follow. What were they to do? But then suddenly, Jesus appeared. Their faith turned from doubt into exhilaration and joy. And their belief was strong. And Jesus appeared to them, being their master once again. He gave them a Holy Spirit. But then they went and told Thomas, who had obviously not been in the room. And Thomas, they said, we saw the master. We've seen him. And Thomas said, no, I don't believe you. You don't believe any of the stories that you're telling me. Because he hadn't been there. He hadn't been there to witness what had happened. But then later, Jesus appeared to him. And he said to them, Thomas, why do you doubt? There are people who your faith is not strong. He reprimanded him for not having the faith that he should have had. For there were people who had faith in Jesus, even though they didn't see him and didn't need to touch his hands and put in his side. Sorry. So, spiritually blinded and not fully understanding the scriptures where Jesus was rising in 3 days' time had been totally forgotten. And Jesus then appeared, and their lives really had been transformed into joy and jubilation at that time. Here we see the first part of John's account, where disbelief turns into exhilaration and the scriptures are fulfilled. And secondly, we've seen and heard about Thomas. I thought to myself, after those two parts, let us reflect on our journeys, the importance of trusting and having faith in God. Or are we spiritually blind by what we are only wanting to see, like Thomas? God does not give us more than we can cope with. And through his scriptures and prayers, you can be surprisingly uplifted by the Holy Spirit. During times when we cannot see the way forward, God will uplift us in all circumstances, providing surprising answers and moving in mysterious ways. The challenge is to individually search your own heart to see where you are with your faith, scriptures, and spiritual life. Today, Jesus is real, and you can have for yourself that everlasting power and personal faith.
Thank you, Jane. And our second reflection will be based on all three readings and be given by Christine Thompson. Thank you.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to thee, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. The readings we've heard show one of the central messages of the church, the Christian community, moving out from the small circle of disciples to the Jewish community, to the seven churches of the province of Asia, and to the Gentiles. Ripples of belief and inspiration spreading wider and wider. The central message of the followers of Jesus told how God fulfilled his plan for the world's salvation through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth, the promised Messiah. The readings tell us this fundamental message of the church to a range of audiences. We tend to assume that the books of the New Testament were written in the order they're shown, but that's not the case. We heard them in the order in which they were probably written. The Gospel of Mark was written first, and then Acts. Revelations was written later, and the Gospel of John may have been written about the same time as Revelation, but was probably written later. And although the early church believed that they were both written by the Apostle John, later scholarship thinks another John is the most likely author. So we see in Acts the first account of what changed the disciples. They saw the risen Lord. By the time Revelation was written, the message was being used to inspire the churches of Asia at a time of persecution. Some scholars think that the story of the empty tomb and the physical appearance of Jesus were added later to the Christian story, that they may not have happened. We think of four dimensions: three spatial dimensions and time. But modern physics theories, string theory, requires 10 dimensions, difficult for our minds to understand. Maybe Jesus moved between different dimensions. If God is omnipotent, he can do what he wills, and our minds may not be able to comprehend it. Whatever happened, it turned a frightened, despondent group of people into followers who would go out, defy the religious authorities, challenge the power of the Roman Empire, and in some cases, die dreadful deaths. And this has continued down the ages. Christianity has re-emerged after decades of official atheism in Russia, persecution in China. Christianity has been a very powerful meme, to use Richard Dawkins' word. I studied science, and one of the things it taught me was to hold two contradictory ideas in my mind at the same time. Is life a wave or a particle? It's both. There is no dichotomy between singing "Hail the Resurrection Thou" and applying critical thinking to the biblical story. Within nonconformist Protestantism, we believe in working things out for ourselves with the help of Scripture and the teachings of the Church. So I would say, what do you think happened? And how will it affect the way you live your life?
So after those thought-provoking reflections, those of us who are able will stand to sing "At the Name of Jesus," number 261 in the hymn books. So, "At the Name of Jesus."
Thank you. Let us pray together. Loving Lord, you come to us through the locked doors of our hearts, breaking through our defences, meeting us where we are, offering us peace. We praise you for your persistence, continually seeking us out, transforming us by your presence. We praise you for your perseverance when we are slow or stubborn. You come to us in new and surprising ways. Today we pray for your world in its diversity and complexity, for those who seek refuge from war, hunger, and the aftermath of terrorist atrocities, and for those who guide the response to such needs. Come to us this week, in government offices where politicians meet, in city boardrooms where executives plan, in hospital rooms where people anxiously wait, on the streets where the homeless find shelter, in homes where people struggle to make ends meet. Come with words of peace. We pray too that our congregation here may be a healing community. Lord, hear our prayer for those in special need of your presence today. We ask that your Spirit may touch those we name in silence before you. God, of all creation, you call us to share in your work of making and praying for a world where all may flourish, where peace and justice, healing and joy are not only prayed for, but carried out. May the generosity of our words and deeds reflect your love. Spare us from the regret of responding too meanly and too late. Finally, loving God, help us and others to see our lives the way you see them, that we may all experience your grace. Renew us in the power of your Spirit, that we may open the doors and go out into the world to bring words of comfort and peace to the people we meet. In your name we pray. Amen.
And now our offering will be taken. Thank you. Generous God, we bring you only what is yours, that Jude might use this offering and the giver for the building up of your kingdom and to the glory of your name. Amen. Thank you, Jean. And now we sing our final hymn, another wonderfully strong and uplifting hymn, number 247, Thine Be the Glory. Please, if you're able, please stand. Before we close, I'd just like to thank all those who have supported me during the service. And as I say this blessing, I pray the Lord will help me in my stumbling. May the Father's hand keep you from stumbling. In the footsteps of Jesus, give us confidence to follow. And in the fire of the Spirit, keep you warm and safe in your walk with God this day. Amen. I should have just said for me, riding. As we go, let us go in the ways that we would wish. And God bless you. Amen.